know how to say it. I'm bad at starting. All right.
I can start if you don't want to start.
So I should just be like, welcome to Mom Notes. Welcome to Mom
Notes. Yeah, welcome back to Mom. Hey guys, welcome back to Mom Notes.
All right.
Maybe not guys. Hey everyone, welcome back to Mom Notes.
Oh, hey everyone, that's good. Okay. All right, here we go. Hey everyone, welcome to Mom Notes, where we get to talk about being moms and being teachers. I'm Nicole.
I'm Sarah.
And we have this podcast so that we can chat and laugh and let people know, specifically women who are moms and music teachers especially, that they are not alone. That we're all, you know, making this up as we go. And we have a lot of fun doing it.
Right. Definitely making it up as we go. So we're just exchanging some mom notes with each other. So part of our show is we have guests on that are music teachers that we know who are also moms. And this week we talked to one of my favorite people, Mandy. And she doesn't really know this, but I sort of hero worship her a little bit. So the fact that I had to act cool and talk with her and interview her probably was one of the most intimidating things of my entire life. And now she's hearing it for real.
I was proud of you. You did good. But also, I think there are many of us out there that look up to and admire Mandy.
I think so too. And I think it's also something that, you know, like we put on each other as moms and teachers too. It's like, that's the ideal. But they're a person too with struggles and with things they want to work on. And so that was nice to hear too, like some of the things she wants to improve on and I think she struggled with.
All right, so here's our episode with Mandy.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Mom Notes. We are so excited. Today we have Mandy, and she is a secondary choir director here in Virginia. And she actually goes way back with Nicole in the way back machine.
Yeah, Mandy, I met Mandy when I got assigned my student teaching assignment when I was a student in college, a music ed student, and I got placed with Mandy, which was the best thing to ever happen. We became fast friends. I thought she was the best teacher ever. We had such a fun year, and I learned so much from her and continue to learn so much from her. So we're really excited to have her on the podcast so that the big wide world and all of our listeners can get to know her. Hi, Mandy.
Hi.
So do you want to tell us a brief, if you were just asked to talk about yourself briefly, tell us about you.
Talk about myself briefly. Okay. Let's see. I love Jesus and I have two kids and I'm a single mom and I've been a music teacher, choir teacher now for like 20 years. It's so weird. I started in the year 2000. So this is actually year 21. And yet I feel like I'm still 28 years old and trying to learn. Like this year all feels new anyway. So I feel really new and not experienced at what we're doing these days. I think sometimes I'm too strong for my own good. And then also I'm a big like weenie and I love my dog.
Yeah. What kind of dog do you have?
She is a lab pit mix and she's just a big baby that likes to snuggle on people. So
I have a pit bull and that's all he wants to do. He just wants to snuggle.
And he doesn't like other dogs. She doesn't like other dogs. Like
he doesn't like other dogs. He's the dog. Yeah. He's like, how dare you? Mm-hmm. I am the dog.
Yep.
His name is Mr. Darcy.
Oh, that's
because
perfect.
you look at a pit bull and you're like, oh no, he's standoffish, you know, stereotypes, just like when Elizabeth met Mr. Darcy. Yeah. And then at the end of the book, you're like, no, he's perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. She's a like golden retriever pit mix. And so like when she was little, she loved everything and everybody, but the older she gets, the more guarded. Yeah. She likes, so there's a handsome man and she likes his dog a whole lot. So she and Wes are buddies, but it's, you know, she's just awkward around other dogs. She just doesn't do it. So that's me. I live in my house and I enjoy like nutrition and fitness. And I feel like I'm more focused on that these days and teaching. church is even weird, you know, like this virus thing is weird, but that's, I just love people, you know.
And how many kids do you have? What are their names?
I have two, and I call them kids, except they're big. So like I have Maddie and she's 17 and she's a senior and about to graduate. And I have the boy, the 14-year-old Jack, and he's a ninth grader, and God help him make it to 10th, you know?
So this is really cool because like we have like littles.
Yeah.
And yeah. Davina, our other guest, she had littles. So you have like the other side, like the big
Which
kids.
Is the nice way of saying, oh, you're old. That's what I'm old. No.
Experienced seasoned.
I'm
veteran.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was young. I was a young mom. I was 25 when Maddie was born. And you know, then Jack was just 3 years later. And so they're teenagers now. And I have them all to myself because their dad is deployed. And so that's a double-edged like blessing and curse at the same time. So like there's some cool things about consistency, and Jack struggles in school, and I'm thankful that I'm a teacher and know the ins and outs of like the Google Classroom and all the stuff that he has to do. Because he can say, mm-hmm. I did it. And I can be like, no, you didn't. And, help him work through all the things.
Would you say you have a favorite stage so far, like of age of your kids?
You know what? I thought I would be able to say yes, but I don't. I think there are awesome things and really hard things about every one of them. And there's mm-hmm. some days I really miss like the cute little baby things, but then there's also a lot of days where I'm really thankful for the independence they have. And like we can sit down and just talk and have real conversations. And you know, I could take my daughter to a musical and she and I are there and we understand the plots and the ins and outs, and she drove us there. But the downside was she drove us there. And like teaching your kid to drive is a whole other thing. That was terrifying.
Yeah.
That's second to potty training, maybe. I don't know.
Oh man. I lucked out with potty training on Joan. So I'm hoping she just did it. So I'm hoping driving is like that too.
So the girl is good. The boy.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't boys struggle more?
Oh, I'm making Clyde do that. Boy. That's his problem.
It's always the boy. Bless him. Love him. He's so cute. He and I are so similar in so many ways. But whoa.
Yeah, so that was one thing we were going to ask you is boys versus girls in teaching and parenting. Like, do you see parallels between parenting one
completely.
Of each and then how you teach
yes,
them?
Yes, completely. Yeah, pros and cons. And like some of it is like I have more patience. Because I have one of each, so I understand their dynamic. I think girls need a whole lot more, like, public confidence building and ego lifting and, like, polish them up and really praise them and positive rewards all the time. But, they're upfront about it. And, you know, I have a couple of students every day. I'm like, how are you? I'm dead today. Or, you know, I'm sad. Nothing's good. Okay, so that's where we're at. You know, so it's a very public build me up. But boys are more subtle about it. They still need the same thing. It's not different. They need to be built up, but you got to do it with humor, or you have to do it with sarcasm, or you have to sneak it in. Because if you make a big deal in front of them, they get embarrassed. Boys work way more off of humor, and girls like humor, but they like their heartstrings pulled more. So you get the little mom confidence builders more in those girls' classes. And I see that with my kids too. Jack will try anything and mess it up and we have to redo it. And Maddie is more standoffish and it has to be her idea, and she has to come, okay, I think I can do this and not fail. Cause if she thinks she'll fail, she won't do it. That's mm-hmm. getting better. She's getting older, but you know, like scared to order her drink at Starbucks cause she's afraid she'll mess up. It's Starbucks. Just order your food. Yeah. And so we actually had to like teach and practice how to place an order at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack will just walk up and talk to anybody and get it for free because he's cute. It's weird. He has a skill.
Do you feel like some of that's just personality though? Not really like boy, girl, or do you?
Yeah, I'm trying to go through all the kids I've got in my classes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's always going to be a certain amount of personality. Kid is individual. The boy Trent, you know, you and I have shared pictures back and forth of the crazy things that only happens in men's choir. Like, why are we having a snowball fight with paper?
It's like boys when they're together.
It's, yeah, yeah. When you get them all together and it's like magnified. but it depends on the group of boys, you know, because I've had those years where they're all athletic and they're like wild and making pyramids. And then you have the years where we talk about what color Vans we're going to wear and what color hair they're going to dye. And this is in the guys' choir. So, like, it's just, it's a lot of trends, how they swing back and forth.
Yeah.
But the big overall thing is I think they need to be built up and encouraged too, but you have to be sneakier.
Yeah.
Because they will get embarrassed. But the girls are like, love me, shower me. I need to hear your positive words.
Yeah.
And boys respond better to short, quick criticisms. And like I said, stop, you know, you get the teacher voice and then you flip it around and you get back into it and they're fine. And girls soul crush. Like,
right. And they'll remember it forever.
Oh, yeah. So I have to be careful to stay patient more with the girls.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
They take longer to recover. And that's like that with parents, with parenting too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so curious to see how Aubrey will be. If she'll be more like straight to the point or she'll be like, I don't know.
I already see that with like Joan and Clyde. Like Joan is very emotional and wants to be with you all the time. Like she doesn't even want me to leave her in the bathroom. You know, like she wants you to be with her and like just wants to be with people all the time, but like wants that emotional like encouragement and praise and team and like, we did it. But then like Clyde is, well, he's two, so, but he's just Hot Mess Express. Like I don't know what I'm going to do with him.
It's the boy. It's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you get the boy second. You're like, oh, okay.
Right. My sister-in-law always made fun of me. She's like, just wait to have a boy. She had boys first. Mm. And I would tell her things like, oh yeah, Joan and I just went shopping and it was fine. And she just walked around with me and everything was cool and pretty. She's like, just wait. And now I have a boy. So she just laughs at me.
Well,
she's like, welcome.
He's 14 years old. And I still don't like taking him to a store because he has to touch everything and things. Yes. And then he's chewing on stuff. I'm like, you're 14. What are you doing? Don't chew your nails. Don't do that. You know, and he touches everything and he takes off from me and doesn't tell me where he's going. I'm like, you are 14. And so I would like to say that gets better, but it doesn't. You know, Jack is the adventure kid. And I've told people many times, God sent me Jack to teach me a lot of things. And it makes me a better teacher and a better person, a better mom. So I, you know, as a young idealistic teacher and, you know, everything is to disciplining and parenting, ADD in my brain when I was young and not knowledgeable was fake. And the kids just needed more discipline, right? So then God said, oh, okay, let me show you. So he sent me Jack. And so, and it happened, we figured it out like third grade. And it was regression, like his academics were regressing and he had to go through reading recovery and his math scores. Like he was so good at stuff and it just started falling apart. And I was racking my brain. Like we did the no sugar, we did gluten free, we went to a chiropractor. Like we did, I mean, we did all the things. No TV for a while. And the doctor finally sat me down. He said, are you ready to really deal with this is? You know, I was like, no, it's dyslexia. It's like, I don't even know why I was so resistant to it. And I probably called Nicole and cried sometimes or talked it out because there was that stigma of medication and ADHD and yeah, and all this stuff that I was really struggling with. And in learning through some of these things, I saved my kid and we found him. And now I've learned a lot that's helped me be a better teacher to other kids. So I wish some of those kids I had those first 3 or 4 years of teaching, I wish I could go back and redo with those kids because now I understand them better. He is a brilliant kid. That boy in my living room watching Gumball or whatever is so dumb on TV. His creative mind, it floors me all the time. And he thinks very higher level order processing. But then he uses a different bath towel every night for a shower and throws them in the floor. So there's a big pot. I don't understand. If you can invent this awesome thing, why that's...
Hey everyone, it's Sarah with your recipe note this week. So the recipe I have this week is something called sausage kale fettuccine.
Oh, that sounds so, if you say anything with pasta, I'm down.
Yeah, if it has pasta, my kids are going to eat it, no questions asked. And this is one of my favorite go-to recipes because it literally has, let me count, I think the 5 ingredients. Are you ready for the ingredients? Are you ready? The first ingredient is sausage. The second ingredient is kale. The third ingredient is pasta. The fourth ingredient is Parmesan cheese.
Mm-hmm, the good stuff.
Yeah. The fifth ingredient is chicken stock. And you have dinner. Those 5 things.
Perfect.
So I will post the recipe notes on how to make it on the Insta. And I hope you guys try it out. It's meat, veggies, cheese, pasta, and it takes like 20 minutes to make it.
We're going to try this one. I'm going to give this one to my husband. We're going to try it. So if you try it, email momnotespod@gmail.com and let us know how it went. I may just email us as well.
Yeah, we tried it.
We tried it. Thanks, Sarah.
Let's talk about having your own kids in class.
Oh, I actually love it. Maddie is my strong-willed girl, right? So she wants to take over the class. So she's very much like, Mom, you can just go. I'll lead warm-ups.
Yeah. Like, I've been here since I was 6.
Right. The only thing she doesn't like to be in charge of is sight reading. She can do it, but she thinks she can't. So, you know, there's that. And she likes to give me suggestions about songs we should sing or musicals we should do. And then blocking ideas. And I'm like, girl, I got it. I will tell you, we got it. And so I have to give her space to like, oh, that's a good idea. You know, give her room. But she's an awesome singer, and she hides that from me. Like, mm-hmm. I know it's hard. She doesn't sing in front of me by herself very often. It takes a lot. Now, Jack, on the other hand, he's the performer. He learns stuff so fast it makes you mad. But right now he's in that ninth grade. Like, he's got to learn how to sing like a choir boy and not like cool pop star. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wants to be a rock star.
Do they call you mom and stuff in class? Like, how's that dynamic?
Yes. Yeah. They've usually called me mom. And if anything, I have to be conscious to not be too hard on them because they're mine. So like I have to, the phrase in my mind is I have to treat them like everybody else, but I also can't treat somebody else's kid better than I treat my own, you know? So mm-hmm. I have to treat them like I would anybody else's kid.
Ooh, that seems hard.
That would be really tough.
What about solo auditions?
Yeah, same idea. And what I usually do with solo auditions is get kid feedback too. Like, I'll do my happy little Google form so that the kids are all engaged and they're giving feedback too. And so it's not just me picking my kid. Usually the kids mm-hmm. all kind of agree with my thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, that would make me nervous. I would almost want to bring in like a second teacher.
Yeah.
You know, like, can you sit in on this too? So it's not just, yeah, that would make me nervous. I got a while for that if mine ever do choir, but ooh.
Well,
yeah, but Joan's a good singer.
Joan is a good singer. Thanks.
She's going to be a star.
She's definitely a soprano. Put it that way. The personality is there. The tone quality is there.
Well, over the years, like, here's all these great opportunities in choir and solos and duets and stuff like this. But if this isn't yours, there'll be another one. And so I think the more I've kind of just made it part of like, yeah, it's just what we do, move on. The less my kids have fought and been competitive over solos completely to just draw it over, you know, they didn't get what they wanted. That's okay. Move on. And mm-hmm. so the more I'm relaxed about it and not overthinking everything, the more the students don't either. So.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I haven't ever gotten much pushback on a solo choice. They're usually in agreeance.
Or they all want somebody. Like, if somebody who doesn't usually try out tries out, then they're like, can they please have it?
Yeah. That's why I do the student feedback.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. now that mine all have laptops. Right. See, I can never do something like that before. I've never been one-to-one. And now I'm like, it's a whole new world.
Well, old school, I'd make them write it on paper. And
yeah.
Right. What is that? You write things on paper? That's so 2019. So. Paper. One of my kids had like a notepad with her today and was like taking notes, like watching a lesson or something. And I was like, what are you doing? Like she brought it herself. And I was like, is that a notebook? Is that a pencil?
So what is, just because I know this will be a funny question, what is your favorite Jack story?
So you mentioned Davina, and Davina used to always call me. And sometimes I think she did it just for fun because she didn't have kids. So she'd call me, and the whole time I'm on the phone with Davina, it's like, Jack, put your clothes on. Jack, how are you on top of the refrigerator? Jack, how are you in the piano? Like, these are all moments that happen. But my favorite probably ever, they were little, and I took them to the Pizza Hut, right? At that point in time, I was still married. And so it was like an after church Sunday or whatever, and take the kids to the Pizza Hut buffet, right? Everybody settled. Jack was still like two, so I was still sitting him at the table. And I'm like, I'll go get your pizza. I'll be right back. And I turn around and start walking. And I hear in the sweetest, angelic, like worried about his mama voice, Mom, watch out for the pirate. And I look up, and bless his heart, there's a little man with an eye patch. Oh, my God. And the spouse and his mom at the time are rolling laughing and can't even, and Jack is just worried to death about this pirate. And I wanted to melt into the ground.
Something I think we're all trying to figure out, especially me, which is work-life balance, like doing both. Because right now I cannot imagine doing both, even though I kind of am doing it, but it's not real life yet.
I don't know that that's something I've always been great at. And, you know, you dive into the way back story. And like, I feel like I always had my kids as a priority, but they came with me to a whole lot of stuff. But the part that I didn't acknowledge at the time was that the married life was not in a really good place. And so it was almost like by creating reasons to not be home, it gave me emotional safety. Like school was the emotional fill. So I wanted to be at school, but my kids just went with me because their dad didn't, his work schedule was all over the place. And so they were with me. So then here's my students and here's my kids. So it's like all my favorites and they're pouring into each other. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I've always had kids. Maddie and Jack grew up at musical practices and they've been in different shows. They had little cameo parts because they were at practices anyway. And so as I ventured out into single motherhood life, that's when I really checked myself and knew I had to do that better. And so I love being busy and I love having stuff to do all the time. And this whole, like, everything is closed and you can't do stuff has been a blessing and a curse because it's let me focus in on different things like health or fitness or whatever that needed to be focused on and spend extra time with my kids. But I'm missing music. Like, I don't feel like music right now. So there's that side, but it's forced a different priority. And teaching is the job and parenting is my life. You know, like these are my people that will be with me for always. But the school is just the job that if I left, they would replace me in a few days, you know. So when I realized that, doing this whole single parent thing, and like I'm the only adult. So I'm like doing all the laundry and paying the bills and mowing the grass and doing the yard work and like cleaning the house. And oh, yeah, they have to eat food. And then I have to do musical practice too. Like that became a big check. So we made the musical a class. And so it was just changing. It was changing the traditions and changing the routines mm-hmm. to fit what needed to happen. Like what I walked into was not sustainable long-term for one person, especially as the program mm-hmm. grew and we had more classes. And, you know, when you get five or six choirs plus a musical.
Yeah.
Plus two kids.
Yeah. So changing the musical to a class, that's such a good idea. That made it,
yes,
less after school.
Yeah. Now last year was our first year making the big spring show. It was a process. So like we had a musical theater class for 3 or 4 years that did musical type numbers, but we still did the evening rehearsals. And I would just, I had a directing partner and, you know, the band director's wife and I would do them together. So we got to where we were even just almost rotating who was leading rehearsal. So we could take some turns. Now I might be at most of them just to play piano, but it took a little bit of load off when she was teaching that night, you know? So we did a lot of that and that helped for a while. But then after she left to go to a different position, that was it. Like, that's the moment. Okay, this musical class is no longer just musical numbers. That is the cast of the show. And if you want to be in it, that's the class you need to be in. And if you have to choose between musical and chamber, I'm sorry, that's real life. You know, I have to choose what I'm going to do in the afternoons. I can't do everything. That's real life. So we can't buy everything that we want all at the same time. Sometimes you have to spread it out. So it's teaching and budgeting with their time too. It became a passion project. Like, we're not teaching kids time management. We're teaching them to do as many things as they possibly can, but don't be really good at any of them.
And just get overwhelmed. That's what I saw a lot pre-pandemic. The kids were just like trying to do everything. And I was trying to do everything. And it was when it like slammed the brakes on everything. And I was like, what was I doing? You know, just everything. And I didn't even see my kids.
And we talk mental health all the time, or emotional health, or like take care of self-care. Well, self-care, it can't always be work yourself to death, but then listen to this meditation. You can't do that. So there has to be some action involved. And for us, it was cut back on the schedule, make this a class, minimize this, cut back on that event or whatever. And so I stopped saying yes to a lot of extra stuff, you know, had to cut back on church music. And it's fun to go do guest conducting things or whatever, but I'm not in a place to do them right now. You know, or VMEA is like, can we nominate you for this? Nah, I need to take a step or two back and just be a parent for a while.
So, okay. So we talked about raising kids around high schoolers. I feel like that's the way to do it. It seems like,
I don't know that their dad thought that was awesome all the time, but he's a different kind of character. Yeah. I thought it was great. Like, it's so cute when your fourth grader is getting walked to the bus by his security squad. And we bought him t-shirts for Christmas and they loved it. But it gave those teenage guys a little bit more responsibility and a little sense of like, okay, we got to take care of this little guy and teach him right, you know? And Jack would talk about these guys like they're his best friends, you know? He'd name him by name, my best friend Alec and my best friend, you know, Colby. And he names him and still misses him, still loves him. And Maddie growing up looking up to see some of these kids and, you know, it made my students behave better because they had to be an example.
They're like, this is, and it's just not anybody's. It's like, this is Miss Steele's kid. We have to like,
So there was less like bad language I was policing and, that kind of thing. And, my kids loved it because it was like they had all these older siblings. So got to go learn lots of cool musicals, you know. By the age of 8, they're singing along with 4 or 5 different shows, start to finish.
Talking to you about some like insecurities you've battled throughout your teaching career, like from the very beginning to now, like how have you like battled through those?
Okay, probably my first insecurity was actually singing because I was a piano major. And so while I did piano major, voice minor, I never felt like, I felt like the piano teacher I worked with was way stronger and that was my skill. And so I had to get through that. I can remember, you know, singing with what I needed to in front of kids for a while or the occasional with the choir at church. And I can remember a certain group of kids that I was working with, a different piano player and stage conductor for a musical or stage director for a musical. And one night after practice, we all just started singing and they were like encouraging me. And I finally just let go and started singing. I was like, wait, I really like singing. This is cool. And so then it kind of like floodgate was open. And now I think some days I'd say I'm a better singer than piano player. It just depends. It depends on the day and the allergies, you know? So that's one of those insecurities that was an early one. And as I've gotten older, I mean, weight has always been a thing for me. And it shouldn't affect your teaching, but it does. How physically active am I going to be with the kids? Or if I'm in a musical and they're teaching choreography, I should get out there and learn it too so that I can help teach it when they forget it. Except I don't feel good enough about myself or my athletic abilities to do that with them. So I videoed, you know, and it's been fine. It's functional, but it's not, I should have pushed myself to do more on some of that. But now that's okay. I'm feeling better about that. But then you're into this cycle of now it's the digital world. Totally, totally uncomfortable with. I mean, I can use technology, but I'm with Nicole. I don't want to learn to be that good at it.
Well, first, let me say, we need to celebrate Major because you just ran a 5K.
I did.
Talking about fitness goals, which is so cool.
Thanks. I mean, I had to walk some. I had to walk the hills and, you know, but it's something I've never pushed myself to do, so I did it. We ask our kids to push their comfort zone all the time, so I have to push mine too.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of leads into the last thing we wanted to talk about, that I just always have thought this, that your kids perform with so much heart. They're so genuine, like their musicals and when they're at assessment, they perform at a high quality, but it's not like, you know, like straight, rigid, complicated. And so to all of our music ed listeners out there, how would you say to accomplish that with your group? I mean, yeah. What advice would you have for that?
So that was the question I pondered the most. Like, how do I answer this right and not screw it up? I feel like you just have to be human. And so I love some of these big, gorgeous, you know, old school classic music pieces, but I look at my students and my students are not the kids who are going to ever pull off Mozart's Requiem. So instead of shooting for that and feeling like a failure always, I'm going to back that up. Let's go for a song that's going to make us feel like better people. And then as we work on this song, you know what? We had a Michael Jackson medley one time. And I love that daggone Michael Jackson.
I was there.
Medley.
That was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you remember, like, that was like such a magical moment. Yeah. With that. And it was just Michael Jackson songs. But when you start diving into, you know, that they learned to sing them and they could technically sing it well. We do talk a lot in class about working with your team. That it's not about you singing louder than your section. It is about your team. And so I use those words a lot. We and team are my big words. It's never I and me. It's always team, us. And I remember working on that Michael Jackson medley, and we kept talking about different things. And, you know, what's the ultimate, what are we coming back to? And we're talking about man in the mirror, you know, and I just want to change the world. And I just want to make it better. So I think one of the things that we do is we focus in on lyrics. I do a lot with like lyrics and words and what do they mean and what do they mean to you and how do you make that personal? And so if they don't have a personal attachment to the story they're singing, mm-hmm. they've got nothing to communicate. You know, I think our biggest lesson that I use with every class every year all the time is, what is music designed for? Why does it exist? Well, music is designed to make you feel. That's it. It's designed to make you feel, and it's designed to communicate. And so if those are your two goals, then everything else kind of falls into place. Don't just sing to sing. Sing because you want to make somebody feel and because you want to make a story communicated out. I don't feel like my kids are the best at formal walking in on risers or formal taking a bow, or every last in consonant is polished the way it should. But if they are kind and polite to others, then that is the bigger success. And that's my big goal for them. I tell them that. I'm pretty upfront. I don't beat around the bush on some of those expectations with them. You know, for a teacher mom parting word, I would probably have to focus in on give yourself grace because you're doing
it. Yay!
Is that what she said? See, we're soul sisters. Like, I think moms, like, Oh my God. And I've got those moms on Facebook, and they like, everything is perfect and everything is coordinated. And here I am thinking, oh, they just say chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese again. But my kids are happy and they're nice to others, and they know how to brush their teeth, and they know who Jesus is. And like really focus in on the it's of life. And what are their memories going to be? And will my kids have more memories than, hey, remember that time we played that video game? Yeah, they're going to have some great experiences. So I am going to vote then with Davina's ending words is grace to yourself and take care of yourself. And care isn't always eating chocolate. You know, sometimes it has to be something good for you to feel better or finding joy in your life. We focus so much, I think, as moms on helping everybody else enjoy mm-hmm. their lives, but you have to do that too. And so whether it's that 30 minutes of the podcast mm-hmm. or, you know, reading a book, or for me, I'm getting to where I just love yoga. I love it. It makes me so happy. And I have Christmas lights on my ceiling and it's pretty. Moms have to take care of themselves, because if you're empty, there's nothing to pour out on anybody else.
Thank you, Mandy. We love talking with you today. It's always such an inspiration and helps me just feel better to talk to her. So I hope our listeners feel the same way. We're going to move into our Mom Notes segment.
Inspired by Mandy this week, and of course, we'll always take any kind of mom note from you guys. We want to hear from you what you thought about the episode. Any funny story you have to share with us, but Mandy's specific episode, we are calling moms and teachers and everyone to write us in and tell us, what were your insecurities with teaching? What were your challenges with teaching? And then do you think you've overcome them? Tell us all about it. And if you're like a mom and you had insecurities about being a mom, you know, write in and tell us about that and maybe your journey to, again, overcome them and like, be at peace with yourself.
Yeah.
So mom notes specifically we're looking for, and remember our email is momnotespod@gmail.com, and that's in our show notes, and it's going to be on our Instagram too. So check out that email and write to us. We want to hear from you.